One, it's a blessing to be here. It's a blessing to see all of you in church today. I just want to say, if you have anybody who you feel like should be in church, or you feel like you can send an invite to, please do so. You know, today is the first Sunday of the new year. I would hate to start it off, anywhere else besides church. So if you know a friend, a family member, anyone you can think of who will be blessed by today's service, please do so and send it to them. So I'm happy to see everyone. I hope everyone was blessed by our crossover service on 31st night. It was a blessing to me. I'm sure it was a blessing to you if you were able to join. We discovered that this year, we learned on our 31st night that this year is going to be our year of being wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And I'll explain what that means to anybody who may be wondering. But like I said, it is the year of being wise as serpents and harmless as a dove. The Bible says before we begin, let me just say a quick word of prayer for us. Father, I thank you for this time in your presence. I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to share and this opportunity to teach. Lord, I thank you for each and every person who gathered and has come to church this afternoon. I pray, Lord, that as we have come to church on the first Sunday of the new year, Lord, may we stay in church this year. May we stay close to you. May we stay connected to you this year as we go on week by week, day by day. Lord, please do not forget us. Please do not leave us aside, oh God. Remember our efforts and remember our hearts. Lord, as I'm coming to share this afternoon, God, I pray, Lord, that you will use me to teach, use me to share, use me to bless somebody's heart this afternoon. I pray, Lord, that people's lives will change, that somebody would take something away from today's message and carry it with them throughout the rest of the new year. I give you thanks. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, like I said, this year was declared our year of being wise as serpents and harmless as a dove. Wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. If you have your Bibles with you, you know, I say this every week, but if you have your Bibles with you and also bring a notepad, bring something with you. You know, if you want to try and make anything, some sort of New Year's resolution or make a covenant with God. Today is also Covenant Sunday. So today is a Sunday where you can actually make a covenant with God. It is a Sunday where you can take time and think about something that you would like to promise God. So I always tell people, you know, on Covenant Sunday, don't rush and create something or think of promises you want to make with God. Take your time and actually think about the things that you want to promise God. Think about what you can achieve in the next 12 months, because the point of the covenant is that you make a promise to God and God rewards you for that, for keeping your promise. So if you have a promise that you want to come to church every Sunday, or if you want to come to church and take notes, it's a covenant you can keep with God, but then you must become diligent about keeping that covenant with God. So today is Covenant Sunday as well as the first Sunday of the new year. So I encourage everybody to make a covenant. You can make a list of 3 to 5 things. It doesn't necessarily need to be completed today. I personally am probably not going to complete my covenant until the end of this week, but you make your list of covenants with God. And from that list, you can actually take it. And if you would like, I like to write it down physically and keep it in my Bible, in a physical Bible, which is, you know, another reason why it's important to have a physical Bible. But you can take your physical Bible and keep it in there. And it serves as a reminder of the things that you promised God at the beginning of the year. So when June gets here, or when July gets here, and it seems as though maybe you've fallen by the wayside, or the things you promised God, it doesn't seem like you're keeping track with them anymore, it serves as a reminder for you. Amen. So like I said, if you have your Bibles with you, you can open your Bibles to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 16. If you have your Bibles with you, Matthew chapter 10 and verse 16. If you have, when you open your Bibles to this place, you will see that the words are actually in red, meaning that these are the words of Christ. These are the words that Jesus Christ actually said. So Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, Jesus says here, Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. He's talking to his disciples, and he's referencing that his disciples are like sheep in the midst of wolves. And he's saying, be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Amen. So Jesus was the person who gave this declaration that it is that it's possible to become wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. There are some things that make serpents, or a snake, a serpent is a snake. There are some things that make serpents very wise. And we're going to discuss several of them today. But just in terms of doves and what makes a dove harmless, you know, in the year 2021, there are some things that you will no longer do to harm yourself. And see, today is going to be a day of a lot of declarations. So I'm going to say several things to where your response must be amen. So when I say something that you want to acclaim and you want to believe for your life this year, you can say amen out loud, physically, wherever you are, but then also type it into the chat box and let others know that you are claiming this blessing for yourself. Amen. So there are some things that we are no longer going to do this year that cause harm, right? We'll touch on what makes serpents wise in a second, but you know, just in terms of what we are going to not do, the things we're going to not do anymore this year to harm ourselves. Number one, we are not going to harm yourself. Like I said, you will no longer harm yourself. Many times, the things that we do that cause us problems, the things that we do that cause us mistakes, you know, are things that we do to ourselves. Many times we don't want to acknowledge it, but it's things that we are actually doing to ourselves. If you turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 5 and verse 5, there's a story in Mark chapter 5 about the madman of Gadara. He was a man who was mad, like he didn't have his correct mind. If you read the full chapter, the Bible actually explains that he was suffering from dealing with an evil spirit. So an evil spirit was sent to the madman of Gadara, and he was tormenting himself. And as you can see in this verse here, he said, the Bible says that he would cry out and cut himself with stones. Many of us, we are crying, but we are the same person who's cutting ourselves. Yeah, last year, you may have been crying, but you were the same person that was taking decisions to make you cry, that you were taking decisions to keep yourself into the same situation. And the Bible is saying here that he would cry out and cut himself with stones. So it's like what he was doing to cry is what is the same thing that he was bringing upon himself. And this year, in the year 2021, we will no longer cause harm to ourselves. You see, he was mad. This particular person in the Bible was mad. Like I said, he was struggling with an evil spirit. So when you are constantly taking decisions that negatively affect you, and then you cry about the same thing you're doing to yourself, you actually look mad. You look like you're struggling with an evil spirit, because it doesn't make sense from the outside looking in why you simply don't stop cutting yourself. You see, it's like you're the person who's cutting yourself and making yourself cry. Why don't you just simply stop? I'll show you another verse. Proverbs chapter 14. I believe we have it. Proverbs chapter 14. Yeah, Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 1, please. Proverbs 14 and verse 1. So the Bible says here that the wise woman builds her house. And when you see woman here, you can it's irreplaceable with man or woman. It says that the wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands, the foolish one tears hers down. With her own hands. So you look like a fool when you tear your own self down, when you destroy your own life, when you take decisions to destroy your own self, when you constantly harm yourself. And the unfortunate thing is many people don't realize it, that they are the person that's harming themselves. Yeah, so this year is a year where we will no longer bring harm to ourselves. You should say amen wherever you're at.
Amen.
So this year, you will no longer bring harm to yourself. Next, we will no longer cause harm to somebody else, right? So many times we are the individual who's causing harm to other people. Yeah. You don't want to be the point of contention in someone's life. You don't want to, and this is a difficult one for many people to accept that you are actually the bad person in somebody's life, or that you are actually the person who has hurt somebody else. Many times people don't want to accept this one, but it's possible and it's achievable to stop. It's possible and it's achievable to stop being the person in people's life who is causing harm to them constantly. Yeah, last year you may have hurt some people. You may be the bad person in somebody's story last year, but we are believing God that this year, in the year 2021 and ongoing, you will no longer be the person who is causing people harm, causing people trauma, that people will be able to be at peace when they mention your name. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And then lastly, to the kingdom of God, to the kingdom of God, to the kingdom of God. So you will no longer be the person who is, you will no longer be the person who is harming the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is what we are experiencing right now, right? It's the church. It is the building of the church. It is the growth and the stability of the church. You will no longer harm the kingdom of God. You know, you no longer will talk negatively about pastors. I believe none of us here are doing that, but you know, you will no longer speak bad about the church, bad about the kingdom of God, bad about the work of God. You know, you will think before you speak on certain things. You know, I said something, we read a passage a few weeks ago. I'm not sure how many of you remember, but we read a passage about Aaron and Miriam and about how when they murmured against God's choice in choosing Moses, God sent a disease on the life of Miriam called leprosy. And it was simply because of the way she spoke about God's choice. So this year, we will not speak negatively about the things that God chooses. We will not speak negatively about the things that God, you know, picks out for us to do in our life. We will not speak negatively about the people that God has placed in our life. Many times God sends people in our life to either teach us something, to bless us, to help us, to encourage us. But sometimes because of us, because of what we can do, we can sabotage the relationship that should have been a blessing to us. We can actually destroy it. But this year, I'm believing God that you will not destroy any relationship that God has sent into your life. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. That is the theme of the year. That is the mindset that you should be moving throughout the year with, is that you know in the next 12 months, you are not trying to be somebody who is causing harm to three areas in your life. Number one, to yourself. Number two, to somebody else or to other people around you. You know, sometimes we make mistakes and we hurt others, and that's human and that's natural. But we don't want to be intentionally and over again causing harm to others. So this year ends all harming other people. And then lastly, harmful to the kingdom of God. Amen.
Amen.
So now when we talk about wise as a serpent, I'm sure many of you, if we can go back to that verse in Matthew chapter 10, I'm sure many of you are probably wondering, why did Jesus say that be wise as a serpent or a snake? You know, what makes a snake wise? Why did he refer to a snake as the point of his wisdom? And I'm going to explain to you why he chose a snake. So, you know, snakes are very wise for many reasons. There are many reasons that make snakes wise. One of the main things that makes a snake wise is their ability to live in a world that doesn't like them. Many of us, if we see a snake, we're not happy. If we see a snake, we don't want to be around a snake. We don't want to come near a snake. You know, it's not, even if somebody tells you, or you hear somebody tell you that, oh, I have a snake for a pet, you almost begin to think that the person is a bit weird. But Jesus was referring to the wisdom of a snake and how we can actually become wise by studying the way that snakes live and the way that snakes interact with the world. One of the main things that makes snakes wise is their ability to live, to thrive, to do well in a world that hates them. Yeah, like they are in the midst of majority of people in the world do not like them. And they are able to thrive, to do well, to prosper, to have multiple snakes, to give birth. I mean, they're able to do a lot of things in a world where people do not exactly like them. So I'm going to share with you some of the areas at which snakes are masters in. Yeah, I think this will help us to be enlightened in how we view snakes and how we can apply some of their wisdom to our own life. So one of the main areas that that snakes are masters of is snakes are masters of the power of the mouth. Amen. Snakes are masters of the power of their mouth. The reason they are masters of the power of their mouth is because their mouth is where their venom is. They know the power that is within their tongue. They know that they can kill from what is inside of them. The Bible says, if we have that verse, please. The Bible says that life and death is in the power of the tongue. I believe we should have that verse. Yes, Proverbs 18:21, it says that the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. The tongue, your mouth has the ability to bring life to you, or it has the ability to bring death to you. Snakes understand this. That is why they are very controlled with how they use their venom. And you in the year 2021 must become controlled in how you use your mouth, in the way you talk. I want us to be very conscious this year of the way we speak, particularly the way we speak about ourselves. You see, that if you constantly speak about yourself in a negative way, constantly say things to yourself like, oh, I'm broke, oh, I'm poor, oh, I'm not doing well, oh, this. I mean, if you constantly are speaking negatively about yourself, how can you do well? Yeah, how can you prosper? How can you move on? Instead of saying, you know, when somebody asks you, let's say you're taking a class and somebody asks you, oh, how is this class going? Instead of saying, oh, I'm struggling, it's not going well, I'm not doing well, say things like, oh, I'm doing okay, it's getting there, I'm doing well. Like, actually speak positively, even if the situation isn't positive. Amen. We must remember as Christians that the tongue and our mouth has the power to bring us life and has the power to bring us death. Amen. So I'm going to give just a few ways, just one or two ways for the sake of time, that you can use your mouth to bring you power. I'm going to just give you one or two ways to use your mouth to bring you power in the year 2021. The first thing you can do is develop your ability to create and invent with your mouth. Develop your ability to create with your mouth. If we turn our Bibles to Hebrews 11:3. Many times, the reason why a lot of believers don't have, you know, a lot of success when it comes to creating with their mouth is because of a lack of faith. If you really look at our hearts, we don't really believe in God. We don't really trust God. But you must become a believer who believes, who trusts, and has faith. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:3, by faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. By faith, which means that by his words, when you read the Bible, we don't have time to do it today. But if you read in the book of Genesis, the Bible says that the world was formed by God's mouth. He spoke it. He said, let there be light, and there was light. So the power that we have in our mouth is something that we can use to create and invent. And the verse goes on to say, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Yeah, it means that what you can have in your life in December of this year can be made by what you speak in January. It can be made by what you say about yourself in February. You must speak positively about your life this year to bring power into your life this year. Say amen wherever you are.
Amen.
Amen. The next area of your life you can use to develop power in is develop your ability to preach. I believe we should have 1 Corinthians 1:21. 1 Corinthians 1:21. Now, when we say the ability to preach, I don't mean that you need to necessarily be, you know, standing or behind a Zoom screen on a Sunday afternoon preaching. What I mean by your ability to preach is you must develop or must grow in your relationship with Christ enough to the point where you can preach something to another Christian, just one other person. You don't have to have a church. You don't have to have a gathering of people, but you must develop your walk with Christ enough that you can have a friend come to you with a problem and share something from the Bible with them. Share something that you've read personally in your quiet time with that person. Last week, for those of you who are in church, we talked about how the Bible says that once you mature in Christ, you should grow to a place where now you can teach others. When you're no longer a baby in Christ, I believe the verse is in Hebrews as well. when you're no longer a baby in Christ, you must grow to the place where you can teach other believers. And I'm believing God that this year we will grow out of just being baby Christians. We will grow out of just being Christians who constantly need to be fed. When your friend comes to you with a problem, you can't give them any biblical advice. You can't give them any biblical counsel. It's not a good practice. Yeah, we must grow out of that habit this year. 1 Corinthians 1:21, the Bible says, "For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe." Amen. So you must grow to a place where you can preach something to the level of people who do not believe. That's what the verse means when it says, through the foolishness of what was preached. It's like, you have to preach at a level to where it can save people who do not believe. So I'm believing God that this year, you will grow to a place where, you know, if somebody is going through something in your life, friend, family member, doesn't matter whom it is, approach the advice from a Christian place.
Amen.
Approach the advice from a place where it's like, wow, this person is a Christian. Yeah, don't let all your advice just be given by what you believe in your head and your heart. Yeah, approach advice by sometimes the fact that you are a Christian and this is what you believe. It shows that you are no longer a baby Christian. It shows that you have matured to a certain place. So I'm believing God that this year we would develop the ability to preach from our mouths. That's one of the ways we can use the power that is within our mouth. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So next area that makes a serpent wise, the next thing that makes serpents wise. You know, there's so many things that make snakes wise. We may not even be able to get through all of them today, but I'm going to try my best to help us to begin to understand. And then next week we can continue. So serpents are masters at overcoming handicaps. Yeah, overcoming handicaps. When you look at snakes, you know, most of their life, their surrounding is a handicap. They don't have any physical body. They don't even have any limbs, really. They just move. And it's a handicap to them. But they are able to overcome that handicap through wisdom. And that is what Jesus was saying in Matthew 10:16 when he told his disciples to be wise as serpents. Become a master of overcoming your handicaps. I believe if we have the verse, Revelations chapter 2 and verse 7, please. Revelations chapter 2 and verse 7. These are the words of Christ. These are the words of God. And God says here, "He that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh," so to him that overcometh, God is referencing people who overcome. He says, "Will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." God will, your ability to overcome your handicaps, I'm telling you, is one of the keys to being able to become closer to God. The promise to those who overcome, God says, is that he will give them to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. This is something that you can only benefit from when you reach heaven. Yeah, you can only enjoy the tree of life or be in the paradise of God, which is in other words, is heaven. Yeah, you can only get to heaven when you are become somebody who's an overcomer. Yeah, there are some people who their handicaps swell them. What I mean by swell is their handicaps overtake them. They become overtaken by their handicaps. It's like their handicaps are the source of their problems. Yeah, like there are some people who, like, their past is a handicap. You know, I'll give you some of the handicaps you can overcome in your life. One of the handicaps that you can use to overcome in your life is your past. Yeah, your past is a type of handicap. The things you've done, the mistakes you've made, they are all types and forms of handicaps. If you turn your Bibles to Psalms 25:6-7, the Bible says, "Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth." Yeah, he's talking about the sins of when he was younger. This is King David writing this, by the way. "Nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness sake, O Lord. Amen. David is saying, remember not the past transgressions. Some of us, our past makes it difficult for us to get close to God today. But I'm telling you, in the year 2021, you will be able to overcome your past. That God will not remember the mistakes. God will not remember your transgressions. God will not remember the sins of your youth. Yeah, youthfulness is also another area that you can overcome. Another type of handicap. Many times people look down on young people, and most of us on this meeting right now are young people. Many times people look down on young people. You'll hear young people say things like, oh, if you're a young person, you haven't experienced life. If you're a young person, you haven't matured to a certain place. If you're a young person, you haven't had certain experiences. But I'm here to tell you today that the Bible actually tells you to take pleasure in your youthfulness. Sorry. If you have 1 Timothy 4:12, the Bible says, let no man despise thy youth. Yeah. Let no man despise the fact that you are young. Do not despise the fact that you are young. Do not look down on it. Do not even wish. You know, many of us were in our 20s, or some of us are in our late teens. Many of us, you know, there was some time ago, we wanted to be here. We wanted to be at the age we're at now. And now we're here and we realize, wow, it's not everything I thought it was going to be. I'm sure I'm not the only person who has that feeling. We realize very quickly as we grow older that growing older doesn't mean much. It might mean that you've become more mature, but it also just means that you have more responsibilities, more expectations, more pressure, more things you need to get done. So that's why the Bible says, let no man despise thy youth, because there's a blessing in being young. And you see, most young people are not found in church. Yeah, I'm sure that's not a surprise to you. Most young people are not found in church. Most young people are not found to be serious with God. Most young people are not found to be people who want to develop a personal relationship with God. No. It's just not something that you are found doing. Even in the midst of a pandemic, on 31st night, New Year's Eve, in the midst of a pandemic, people would rather go to a party than to come to church on Zoom, not physical church, on Zoom, to cross over into the new year with God. Through everything that's happened last year, people still, it's like something can't bring them to do it. Most young people it's not usual to be close with God. And that's why Paul says here, but be thou an example of the believers in word, which is, you know, like in the things that you read, things that you study, become a believer in those things, in conversation. Yeah, the types of conversation that you have as a young person, you should try and be an example in those things, in charity. Charity is another word for love, in the way you show love to others, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Try your best this year to be an example in these areas. Don't forget this verse, 1 Timothy 4:12. Try your best to become an example in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith. The way you believe in God, like we talked about earlier, right? The power of the mouth, the way you say things. Become a young person who speaks positively over their life. Yeah. And see, people in the world, people who are not believers, also have this practice. They just call it positive affirmations. Yeah, but it's the same practice. You can do the same thing. It's speaking positively. The difference is they say positive affirmations and they are trusting the universe. We are trusting God. We are trusting the power that is in our mouth. We are trusting the power that the Bible says that the power of life and death is in your tongue. So we are trusting God. When we speak positively over our lives. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So continuing, types of handicaps that you can overcome in your life. So I'm going to just give you some principles for overcoming handicaps, or maybe some one or two ways, some strategies that you can use to overcome a handicap. Like I said, there's so many things that make these serpents wise. And I want to share them all with you, but for the sake of time, we may not be able to get through everything. But one of the five principles for overcoming a handicap is by assuming the stance and posture of an overcomer. Like I said, today is a faith type of day. Today is a day, you know, to have faith, because to assume the position and stance of an overcomer, it means that you are living in faith. Yeah, it means that when you are going through a difficult circumstance, when you are going through a difficult situation, you are still standing in faith. You are still strong in your faith. You are still able to be stable in your faith. Many Christians, like I believe I've said this many times, you know, many things, many Christians, when they go through things, when they go through negative situations, when they go through bad situations, one of the biggest problems for them is they become shaky. They begin not to trust God. They begin to question God. But the Bible says, you know, in the Bible, there was a time Jesus was in a boat with his disciples. I believe the story is in the book of Mark. Jesus was in a boat with his disciples. And the Bible says that they were on the sea and the waters became very shaky and they became afraid. Mind you, they are in the boat with Jesus Christ and they became afraid. And Jesus told them, why do you have such little faith? Ye of little faith. He questioned why they don't believe much. And many times that's us when we're going through a stormy time, when we're going through a difficult situation, when it seems like things are not stable, we question God. And I'm sure God looks at us many times and says, why do you have such little faith in me? Yeah, so, you know, one of the ways this year that we can overcome these handicaps is by becoming believers to assume the position of faith. I'm sorry, assume the position of an overcomer. Next, you can overcome your handicaps by knowing that everyone has handicaps. Everyone has something that they are overcoming. Everyone, myself included. Yeah, don't think that because I come and I'm preaching on Sunday afternoons, it means that I don't have things that I'm also overcoming. We all have handicaps. Psalms 34, verse 19. Psalms 34, verse 19, please. Psalms 34 and verse 19. We have that verse, please. Yes, the Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Yeah, when you choose to become righteous in God, when you choose to become a Christian, a proper born-again Christian, the Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Like, you will have many problems. When you sign up to be a Christian, you sign up for a life of problems. Yeah. But then the verse says, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. So God can deliver you out of every affliction, out of every handicap. God can deliver you out of it this year. But you must believe. You must become people who believe in him. You must become people who believe in his word. I'll show you another verse, 2 Timothy 3:12. 2 Timothy 3:12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. Amen. It's very clear right here. If you choose to be a believer who wants to live godly, you choose to be a believer. So don't think that by being a Christian, you're signing up for blessings, 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 and more blessings. When you sign up to be a Christian, when you give your life to Christ, when you rededicate your life to Christ, you are signing up for persecution, for problems, for sufferings, for afflictions. Yeah, but like the verse we read in Psalms, the Lord can deliver you out of them all. Say amen, somebody. Amen. I'll give you one more principle you can use for overcoming your handicaps. You can overcome your handicap by embracing your God-given weaknesses. Yeah, overcome your handicap. We all have a weakness. We all have some things that are weaknesses for us, that make us weak. And the Bible says, we don't have this verse. It's okay, I'll read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 10. This is the Apostle Paul. And Paul says, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. Which if you read that verse in another version, it says that he takes pleasure in his weaknesses. You must become a believer who takes pleasure in your weaknesses and the things that don't help you. The things that you suffer with, things that you struggle with, take pleasure in it. That is one of the ways you can overcome them. Like we said, let no man despise thy youth. If you know that your youthfulness is one of your weaknesses, take pleasure in the fact that you are a young person. Think about how you have so much life in front of you. Think about the fact that you have so much time to accomplish things. You have so much time to develop your relationship with Christ. You see, you have come to Christ in your 20s. There are some people who may not come to Christ until they're in their 30s or 40s. It'll be much, 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 much more difficult for them to serve God as a 40-year-old than you who's come to Christ in your 20s. Always remember that, that while you are choosing to live a life that's different, that you are being set aside for a better life. You are being set aside for a greater life. And I'm believing God that in the year 2021, you will see all the promises of God that God has for your life this year. Say amen, somebody.
Amen.
Amen. And then lastly, just for the sake of time, we will touch on one more of the things that make serpents masters. Lastly, this year, you will become a master of contentment. Yeah, a master of contentment, being content. If we turn our Bibles to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 12. You know, I think this is a very critical one. I want to, if we don't remember any of the things that make serpents wise today, let's remember the masters of contentment. The reason I say this is because I can sense and I can see in a lot of young people that because of comparison and because of jealousy, it brings a spirit of discontentment into many of our lives. What I mean by that is many of us struggle to actually be thankful and be grateful to God for the blessings that we have. The reason being is that we are constantly comparing. We are constantly comparing, well, this person is at this place in their life and we're at the same age and I haven't reached that level. Or this person has this and I have this and my thing isn't as nice as their thing. And this thing is a real issue, something that really needs that we as believers, we need to pray about. If you are there and you know you are struggling with comparison, you know, in a second, I'll speak about the spirit of discontentment. It's like when you are never happy with anything God has given you. God blesses you with something. You just can't seem to be happy with it. This year, you must become a master of contentment. You must become a master of looking at it and looking at your life, analyzing your life and saying, you know what? I may not be where I want to be yet, but I'm on my way. You must become a master of looking at your life this year and saying that you, and looking at your life and thinking, you know what, I may not have this car yet, but the car I have is a blessing. I may not have this place to live yet, but where I'm living at now is a blessing. You must always remind yourself that there are people who would die, people who would kill themselves to be in your position, that would kill themselves to have your car, that would kill themselves to live where you are living. There are people out there who actually want your life, the same life that you are unhappy with, discontent with, always comparing yourself to others with. There are people out there who just want the little that you have, just want to have your car, your job, your house. I mean, they just want those things and they'll be happy. But you, for some reason, can't seem to be happy with those things. And I pray that this year, in the year 2021, will become more masters of contentment, masters Amen. Of being happy with what we have. If you read Philippians chapter 4, verse 12, the Bible says here, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. So Paul is saying here, when he says abased, he means to not have much. To be abased means that you do not have much. And Paul is saying, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. To abound means that you have plenty. You have more than you need. He says, everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. This is a verse of contentment. Paul was saying here, he knows how to live in times where he has enough, times where he has everything he wants, but he also knows how to live in times when he's lacking. Many of us don't know how to live in times when we are lacking. We don't know how to live when we need something from God and he hasn't come through yet. But this year you will become a master of contentment. You'll become a master of being happy with what God has given you, where God has placed you in your life. You know, if you go through your life, many of us are very blessed. Yeah, I'm here to tell you today that you are blessed. And if you are in this church right now, you are a blessed person. And many of us, for some reason, we can't believe that we are blessed. But you must believe that you are blessed. You must believe that you are a blessed person, that God has a plan for your life, that God has a plan for you to do well in this life. Say amen.
Amen.
You must become a master of contentment this year. And I was going to read a verse, if we have the verse, please. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 14, as I close. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 14. The Bible says here, I have seen all the things that are done under the sun. All of them are meaningless. Yeah, if you read this verse, another version, it says that, behold, all is vanity and vexation. It's like most of the things we are trying to accomplish, you know, are meaningless anyway. A chasing after the wind. Most of the things we are trying to accomplish here on earth while we are here are only good for earth. That's why we read a verse, I believe last week or the week before, that says, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth. Like, most of the things we are trying to do only will benefit us here. They will not benefit us in heaven. So do not become so caught up in trying to accomplish so many things and trying to obtain so many things while you are here. Yeah, and I'm here to tell you this afternoon that you must become a master of contentment. You must become a master of understanding this verse. This verse must be one of the verses that's in your heart, that most of the things people are trying to accomplish here on earth are just for that, just for earth. Yeah, one of the main sources of the spirit of discontentment, one of the main sources of comparison, unfortunately, is social media. Because many of us go on social media and we see that, wow, this person has this, this person has this, this person has this, and I'm here. And, you know, I think sometimes it's difficult for us to remind ourselves that, you know, social media is just that. It's a highlight reel. It's just people posting all their wins. But like I said before, you know, everybody has a handicap. Everybody has something that they are trying to overcome. Most of the people, when they are posting their highlights, when they are posting all their wins, you don't know what handicap they have. You don't know what losses they've taken. You don't know what things they are suffering with. All they've done is come to post one picture. So never assess someone's life. Never bring your life down based off of what other people are showing you on social media. Yeah, it's never the whole story. It's never the full picture. They are choosing what to show you, what to tell you, what to expose you to. Yeah, so always keep this in mind, that in the year 2021, you will become a master of contentment. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Become a master of contentment. You know, like I said, there are many things that serpents are wise in. I can read you just a few, right? Serpents are masters of patience. Yeah, serpents are masters of frugality. Frugality is the ability to live with not having much, or the ability to live and to handle your finances. In the year 2021, you will become a master of frugality, of mastering your finances. You will not become wasteful in the year 2021. You'll be able to save. You'll be able to reach whatever financial goals you have this year. Say amen. Amen.
Amen.
Serpents are masters of speed. Amen. Serpents are masters of being unpredictable. Serpents are masters of working alone. Serpents are masters of working with others. I mean, there's so many things that serpents are masters in. And I'm believing God that as we study this, we will learn the things that we can become masters in as well. So as for today, some of the things I want you to think about, you know, as you're making your covenant with God, is number one, becoming a master of the power of your mouth. Number two, becoming a master at overcoming your personal handicaps. Yeah, becoming a master at overcoming the things that you struggle with. And then lastly, becoming a master of contentment, a master of contentment. Amen. So at this time, let's just bow our heads and have a quick word of prayer, wherever you may be at this time. Just pray for yourself. Pray for yourself that God will give you wisdom. You know, the Bible says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask the Father which is in heaven, and he will give you freely. You know, God is in the business of giving you wisdom. So pray and ask God this afternoon to bless you with the spirit of wisdom. Ask God to help you to become wiser. Pray and ask God to help you to become wiser in his wisdom, wiser in the way you make decisions, just wiser in the way you choose to live your life. Amen. So just pray. Father, I pray for each and every person on this meeting. I pray, Lord, that you will help us, oh Lord, help us to become wiser, help us to become wiser in our decision makings, help us to become wiser in the actions that we choose to take, help us to become wiser in the things that we do, Lord. Help us not to harm ourselves this year, God. Help us not to harm others this year. Help us, oh Lord, this year to become wise so that we do not harm the kingdom of God. Lord, I pray for us, oh God, that this year we will understand the power that is within our mouth, that we will use our mouth for good things and not evil things. Help us, oh Lord, to overcome handicaps this year, God, to recognize, Lord, first help open our eyes. Help us to recognize our handicaps and give us the grace to overcome, Lord. And lastly, Father God, help us to become masters of contentment this year. May we not become overly critical of the blessings you've given us. May we not become people who despise the blessings, who despise the things you've done for us, oh God. May we become grateful, Lord. May we live life with a grateful heart this year for everything you've done and everything you will do for us throughout the course of this year. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. So at this time, we can have our offering instructions be projected, please, if you can show them. Yeah, so if you are there and you have your offering, please give. You know, I say this every week, that giving your offering, paying your tithes is one of the sources of receiving a blessing in your life. So if you can follow the prompts on the screen, and it will direct you to give an offering. You know, start out the new year, the first Sunday of the year, start it out with an offering, start it out with a blessing.